Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to this fifth chapter of the first Peter, and Peter begins to speak about the shepherd and the sheep. Now we find that imagery spoken of all throughout Scripture, that God refers to his people as sheep, and you realize that that is not something of a noble title. Sheep physically are difficult animals. They're difficult animals because they have no provision for defense. They are on the, with regards to instincts, they are an animal that has not been given a heightened instinct. They will eat themselves to death, so they need to be moderated in what they eat. The shepherd needs to walk through the field and glean the field before the sheep are turned loose, because they'll eat anything, poison or not, they'll eat those plants. They have no sense of finding where water is, so they have to be led to the water. And if the water is running too fast, they will not drink, they will not settle to drink that water. It needs to be a calm water. You find that reference in Psalm 23. He leads us beside the path of still waters. Sheep are a nervous bunch of animals. One goes out and the rest begin to follow, and so often, when a shepherd would have a sheep that would continue to get through the fence or find its way out and lead others around the same way, the leg would be broken and be brought back into the fold. When Jesus speaks about his people, what does he call them? The sheep of my pasture. Sheep, the literal physical sheep, they have to be sheared because the wool will get so full, thick, and heavy that they'll tip over and they'll lie there on their backs with their feet straight up in the air, either until they're dehydrated and die, or they're eaten by a predator. They don't have the ability to fight back. They don't have claws. They don't have teeth that can do any damage. And so there they are. Their skin produces a lanolin type of oil, and that oil then comes up through the wool, and everything sticks to it. You've got dirt, you've got sticks, you've got grass, you've got all kinds of stuff that gets stuck on the skin, and it can also create a mess in the life of the shepherd who has to deal with those sheep. So notice the metaphor that God speaks to his people as sheep. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, each one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. The crowds gathered around the Lord Jesus, and the disciples said, "Send them away." And Jesus said, "I have compassion on them, for they are like sheep without a shepherd." When Jesus, who is the good shepherd, when he was struck, as Zechariah refers to it, "Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter," demonstrates that the sheep need a shepherd to guide, to direct, to lead. Now, Peter speaks about examples that the shepherds are to be to the sheep. Thinking about this, there are basically three types of people in this world. There are sheep, there are wolves, and then there are sheepdogs. Shepherds, in that sense, are sheepdogs set amongst the sheep to protect and care for the sheep. And when the sheepdog is not among the sheep, there's a nervousness that goes on among the sheep. They wander and nervously don't know where to turn, where to go, where to find food, where to drink, what's going to protect them from the wolves that seem to always want to devour the sheep. Now you bring that spiritually, and the people of God are the same way. You know what it's like to not have a pastor, even if it may be for a brief moment. The best I can explain with a congregation that loses a pastor, it's like a nakedness. You feel naked, you feel uncovered. And you know that something is wrong and something is missing. And it's needed. Why is that? Because the Lord has set down shepherds amongst his sheep to shepherd them for the glory of God in Christ's stead. These are the sheepdogs that the Lord has called, which are also sheep themselves. So as one who was called an under-shepherd, a sheepdog, I'm still a sheep that is led by the good shepherd. In that sense, I am much like you. But in another sense, because of the office and the calling and the gifts from the Lord, I'm unlike that as I am a sheepdog. I don't run from the wolves. The commercial where the Marines are being dropped off and bombs are being exploded and they jump out of a helicopter and run right to the explosion. And I think the thing that says on the bottom, which way do you run from the action or to the action? So God has done this for the care of his people. And even as the physical shepherds dealing with the physical sheep have to deal with all of the problems and the difficulties, and even as sheep get burrs underneath their wool, it gets moving into there, gets on the skin, creates an abscess, the shepherd need to know what's going on with the sheep. So it is a study of the people of God, of knowing you, of knowing about you, of knowing your attitudes, your demeanor, your actions, your disposition, your likes, your dislikes. And all of you are different. You're all different sheep. And so that study of even examining faces, to know when I see somebody, if there's something going on, just by the way that I look at their face, that takes time. It takes understanding that only the Lord can give. But it's a necessary activity in the life of the church. You cannot shepherd from the pulpit, per se. Shepherding does go on from the preaching and the teaching of the word, but it requires, and we'll see that, much more than that. So, recognize who we are, what God refers to us as, but in the same token, we are the apple of his eye, the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has loved us to give the office of shepherd, pastor, elder, bishop in the church to care for the people of God, who would definitely go astray without the under-shepherds that Christ gives. So is a pastor necessary? Absolutely. It is unbiblical for any congregation not to have an active pastor in their midst. So Peter begins to deal then with the elders of the congregation. Notice in our text, verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort. So notice that there are elders that are among the congregation. These are men, elders, episkopos or presbyteros. It could be used elders, same interchangeably, meaning a little bit different. So presbyteros is one who is guarding, caring, overseeing the congregation. Episkopos is one who is more intensely looking in to the congregation. That's not from afar. That's getting into the people's lives. It's understanding who they are, how they live, what's going on in their lives, being intimately involved with the sheep. That's what a shepherd did. He lived among the sheep. He literally slept in the field, guarding, watching over the sheep of the pasture that was given to him. He is entrusted with this. So the elders. The elders are specifically gifted by the Lord to serve as overseers in the congregation. They are called to watch and to care for and to provide that care and concern for the congregation. There are those that are teaching elders. There are those that are ruling elders. There are those that are the pastors of the church. A little bit different responsibilities, but nevertheless, the authority is equal within the church. Peter says that in his time among this flock, there were the elders, and he was exhorting them. And his exhortation, parakaleo, means that he came alongside of them with specific instructions of how to shepherd the church of God, the people of God. Without the instruction given from the Word of God, it would be near impossible to shepherd the people of God. Every man would do then what is right in his own eyes. But the calling is not what the church says, but what the Scripture says. The Scriptures ought to teach the church that what is the elder to do and make sure that he's doing his responsibility in the work. Peter calls himself an elder, presbyteros. He's one who rules in the church as well. Now you know he's an apostle. But he's not coming down with his authority in that way. He's writing as an apostle of Jesus Christ. But he's telling them, I understand. I am a shepherd as well. I am an elder in the church as well. I know what it means to shepherd the flock of God. I get it. I know what you go through. I know the hazards, the difficulties, the problems, the weaknesses. I understand all of that. And I come along to encourage you in that work. So you realize that Peter knows firsthand what's going on in the life of the pastors, the elders, shepherds in the church of Jesus Christ. And he's bringing that word of encouragement. It's needed for the elders. It's needed for the people. Even as it was a messy business for the literal pastors dealing with the literal sheep, so it is spiritually with the lives of people. There is a lot of mess. There's mess in your life, and there's mess in my life. There is mess. And it needs to be constantly dealt with. And as my time in the ministry, there has never been one reprieve of dealing with the mess that goes on in the church. It's a continual, habitual thing in the life of the people of God. Marriage problems, death in the family, sickness, people walking away from the church, fights in families, literal fist fights in families, grudges, people not talking to one another because dad willed certain ground to one family member that he didn't give to another, and so now grudges, and one family sits on this side, the other family sits on that side. We gossip about one another, we backbite, we slander, we treat each other rudely, we're less than loving towards one another, we're unkind, and it creates problems, it creates bitterness, as we are stones rubbing up against one another. And you've got to constantly deal with this stuff in the church. And so Peter brings that encouragement. He comes alongside, he brings that encouraging word as one who is a fellow elder. Sum episkopos or presbyteros means a co-laborer in the work. He understands exactly what it means. Well, that brings encouragement. I told you this morning as we prayed about the baby that died at 5 months old. The best way that I have found for ministry to go on in the life of the church is for those ladies who have had miscarriages come alongside of that one who recently had a miscarriage and comfort them with the word of truth. They know exactly what it means, the heartbreak, to go through that situation. I do not. And I'd be an idiot if I said I did. A lot of times we go through things and we say this to the other person. I know what you're going through. Really? Have you gone through that? Well, no. You don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're talking about. So get those people together who have gone through it, who have walked through that difficulty, and let that one minister to this other one, and they will be extremely comforted knowing that this one walked that path as well. That's the comfort that you find here. Peter walked that path. Peter was the one who denied the Lord. You remember three times that he knew him. He denied him with an oath, with cursings. He swore, I do not know the man. And then he was brokenhearted, wasn't he? And he went out and he wept bitterly for having denied the Lord. And the compassion of Christ comes to him and restored Peter. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Play on words. Jesus uses the word agapao, and Peter uses the word phileo. Jesus said, do you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And Peter said, you know I have good affection for you. But that's not what I ask you, Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me with all your being? Well, he just denied Christ. How could he say that? Peter said, I like you a lot. Well, if you do, if you even like me a lot, feed my sheep. Peter knows what it means to deny the Lord and then to be restored, doesn't he? And as Christians, we understand that. You know what it means to fall flat on your face, be involved in some sin, and then the Lord restores you. And you know the heartache and the turmoil in your soul, and the Lord lifts you up again and restores you with a word. If you haven't been there, you will be. Just keep living. Keep living among the sheep. And you'll find out. And this is the compassion that Christ gives to us. Peter says he's a fellow elder and a witness, martyros. Witness originally is somebody that died for the faith. They would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter is calling himself a martyr of Jesus Christ. I'm willing and ready to die for the faith that is in Christ Jesus. He is a witness. He's a testifier of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw them firsthand. You remember Peter was one, Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. When he saw the glory of Christ, when he heard the Father thunder from heaven, "This is my well-beloved Son, hear ye him." Peter was the one, "Hey Lord, this is great for us to be here. Should we make 3 tabernacles? One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah?" And then the voice thundered from heaven. You know, Peter was on his face. But he has a more sure word, he said. "Even though I've seen some wondrous, glorious things and revelations from the Father, yet I have a more sure word than even what I saw and I experienced. It's the word of truth." He is one who is a witness of the sufferings of Christ. You know, that's what a beleaguered, weary, heart-stricken congregation needs to hear. It's the word from the apostle who knows the sufferings of Christ. "I've seen them. I saw them firsthand." And he says, "I'm a partaker of that." You know, all those that are in Christ Jesus are going to suffer. You bear the mark and the ensign of Christ. You bear his name and you're going to suffer. Speak for Christ and see if you don't suffer. Say something, beloved. Say something for Jesus and see if you don't suffer. See if the world and all the evil in the world doesn't rear its head at you and come at you with full force. You know, when you sit on the bench, you don't get tackled. When you sit on the bench, you don't get spit upon. When you sit on the bench, nobody grabs your face mask. When you sit on the bench, you don't play. Your uniform doesn't get dirty. And then you're like a cheerleader, but I'm on the team. And what do you contribute? We kind of view the Christian life, I think, in that way. Well, at least I'm on the team. No, no. That's not the army of Christ. We're all called to be active as soldiers of the cross. So in other words, no clean uniforms. They're all dirty as we're doing the work of Jesus Christ. They're all in the fight. They're all supporting one another. They're all caring for one another. Partaking of the glory that shall be revealed when Christ returns. Apocalypse, it's going to be made manifest. And that's the day that I long for. Whether I die and go be with Christ or he comes, it's a day that I long for. Don't you get weary? Somebody asked me if I get tired of being a pastor. I don't get tired of the work. I get weary in the work. I love what I've been called to do, but I get weary. And there are weary times and seasons in the life of ministry. Depending what goes on in the life of the church, there are times that are weary. And you get tired. But not tired of caring for the people of God. So the long for the coming of Jesus Christ. So Peter is called then, along with all other under shepherds, shepherd the flock of God. Peter is called to feed. It literally means to tend God's flock. Tending has the partial responsibility as well as feeding. If you're tending, you're feeding. If you're tending, you're nourishing. If you're tending, you're protecting. If you're tending, you're watching over. If you're tending, you are protecting the flock. So it has all those aspects of responsibility of how we care for the flock. And Peter is saying, shepherd them. Shepherd that church. Shepherd those people. Care for them. Feed. Tend. Oversee. Be involved in their lives. You cannot shepherd from a distance. One time I left a congregation. They said that they wanted to have a flat screen and then they could just stream the worship services. How's that? How do I tend the flock from 1,800 miles away? How's that possible? You've got to have men involved in the life of the congregation, involved in the people's lives. And beloved, when you do that, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you talent. It may even cost you your reputation. But so be it. That's the calling. Be involved in the life of the church. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's stinky. Sometimes it's great joy. It's that bundle of all of that in the life of the shepherd. And yet, here's the calling. Shepherd them. Shepherd the flock. Notice the flock of God. Not my flock. I don't own you. You're owned by the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. He owns you. You belong to Him. I belong to Him. You belong to Him. My stewardship is to care for the precious possession of Christ. What He redeemed, what He purchased with His own blood. That's a heavy calling. That's why James says, let not many of us become teachers, knowing to us will be the stricter judgment. I mentioned this in Sunday school. Why did you not say what you needed to say? Oftentimes when men's ministry is examined, how I examine it is not by the things that they say. It's by the things they don't say. Because you see, the things that they don't say are those things that will offend people. And it's telltale now of whether they're trying to please their Lord who bought them or to be a man pleaser and not tell people the truth. Well, Paul said, if you want to be a man pleaser, you cannot be a slave of Christ. You cannot be a shepherd of the sheep. Because you're going to say things that are going to offend people. It's not deliberate. It's just simply the text. How many of you men were offended last Lord's Day when we had baptism and I spoke upon the vows? How many of you have not done what you vowed before God? And you were offended that I brought it up. And you were even more offended when I said, I don't care if you're offended. How many of you are? And you know what? That's your fault. That's not my fault. That's your fault. You've not done what you promised. So, what's the remedy? Confess it. God forgives. Confess it. Move on. And begin being faithful to what the Lord called you. Care for your family. That little church, as it were. In your home. Care for your children. And you care for them. You are reading the scriptures with them and to them. No way around that. You do not know how to pray apart from the word. So you are to pray with and for your children. That means you have to be a man, a woman of the book to instruct your family. Love your children that way. Let me tell you something. If they turn out to be great lawyers or doctors or athletes or whatever else, and they are not those that have been raised up on the fear and instruction of the Lord, you're a failure. You failed at your covenantal duty to raise up your children. Confess it. Again, God forgives. But nevertheless, we have an obligation. So Peter then tells the under-shepherds to shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Notice, serving, it's a servitude, serving as overseers. Those overseers. The word overseer, episcopus, is where we get the term scope, microscope, telescope. And that's what it refers to. Epi, the prefix, intensifies that word. So that means one who diligently cares in the life of other members of the church. I said it this morning in Sunday school. I'll say it again. If I cannot be involved in the life of God's people, I will not pastor. This is the calling to be involved in the lives of the people of God. If I cannot make a difference, I will not pastor. No matter what people think or say, if I cannot be involved in applying God's truth to their lives at every aspect and every turn, I will not do this work. It's futile then. There's the calling right there, the overseers. Being diligently careful in the lives of God's people, watching over them with all diligence, being circumspect in their lives. It doesn't mean I'm micromanaging your life. I'm just noticing, seeing, guiding, leading, helping along in the narrow road that leads to life. And that's what Peter says. It's present tense. It began sometime when they were called, and what he says in the shepherd is a continual aorist tense, means it has results in the future, continuing action in the future. Peter also speaks in the present tense of this overseeing activity is a continual habitual action. You never cease from doing that. You don't do it by compulsion. Not forced to do the work. So you have a young man who is in high school. His dad is a pastor. He's already experiencing the pressure of being in the ministry. Maybe he's not called, but he's experiencing that pressure. People begin to say, you know, he's a PK, he's a pastor's kid. Well, what are you going to do, little Bobby, when you grow up? You're going to be a pastor like your daddy? Now he begins feeling it. And he does something in the church. He's like, oh, he's going to be the next pastor. And all this pressure, maybe he wants to be a mechanic. But here's the pressure. And as it goes on, his dad sees he has certain gifts. But he's never talked to about, do you think you're called to this? Do you have this internal calling? You have this desire? Because if you can do anything else, go do it. Because if you can do anything else, you're not called to this. And so, by compulsion, he's pressed into the work. And he is a miserable man, and the people are a miserable people. Because it's only those that have been called and gifted by the Lord that can shepherd the people of God. We don't do it perfectly, but it's only those that have been gifted that are called to shepherd the people of God. Not by compulsion, but willingly. Willingly give up the things of this earth to shepherd and to follow the good shepherd and to care for his flock. My first calling, I made $24,000 a year. Look on your scale of living and tell me that isn't poverty. And then I had the audacity of one older man in the congregation said to me, well, my dad told me years ago that you keep the pastor poor, you keep him humble. And I told him that it's not your responsibility to keep me humble. That's the Lord's work. You just keep me ready for the next call that comes along where I can feed my family and take them out once in a while like you guys do, driving your big Cadillacs and all that. Willingly. A pastor doesn't need to make $500,000 a year, but he does need to feed his family and take care of his obligations, doesn't he? And that's why we have, even in the RCUS, whether the pastor's salary is sufficient for his needs. And if it's not, you cannot provide a call for that pastor. And that's why things are worked out with the consistory. Now, I'm not griping about salaries. You know that. You understand that. I'm just saying that it's not by compulsion. I was in a situation once where I was called. I declined the call. And the next thing that came out of the elder's mouth is, you don't even know how much we're going to pay you. I said, well, that's exactly why I wouldn't come. Because I'm not a hireling. I've taken calls for a lot less than I labor here amongst you all. It's willing. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to do the work. He says also, for not dishonest gain. I don't know how many go into the ministry thinking they're going to be rich. You see them on TV. These guys are multimillionaires on TV. People constantly flooding money to them. People, I don't understand that. You don't get rich. This is not a calling that you're going to be lucrative at. Lord supplies your needs. That's fine. But Peter is making a distinction. When you're called to the work, let it be willingly that you desire to minister to the people. Don't be by compulsion forced into that work. And don't let it be because you just want to line your pocket by fleecing the flock. That is not the calling. He also says that we are not to be lords over the flock, being those that browbeat the people of God. But he says, those that are entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Well, that's a difficult calling, isn't it? It's difficult because the people look to you. And when the shepherd falls, the sheep scatter. I've seen that again and again. I've seen problems in congregation with elders. I've seen people looking to the elder. I'm not the standard. Christ is the standard. I am a man, flesh and blood, just like you. Christ is what we look to. He's the one that we look at. If you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, you're not going to have a problem. You're not going to stumble and fall. The best of men are men at best. Keep your eyes fixed upon Christ. But nevertheless, the elders are to be mature. They are to be understanding. They are able to rebuke, exhort, admonish, to teach with all long suffering and patience. That's a gift that God has given to them. And that is their calling amongst the flock of Jesus Christ. Not to be pounding on the people. So, he says, notice the reward. When the chief shepherd, the ark shepherd, the type, see, you look to Christ to know how to shepherd the people of God. When he appears, then you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. There is a perishable crown. There is an imperishable crown. Paul says that we run as Christians for an imperishable crown. Now, let me ask you a question about that imperishable crown. How do you run? Do you so run the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and you do so with perseverance so you don't become weary and discouraged in your soul? Do you prepare? Are you diligent to run that race for that imperishable crown? Are you diligent to prepare yourself? Are you diligent to read, to pray, to cultivate fellowship with one another? Are you diligent to do that? Because, beloved, the perishable crown that is seen in the world, and this is what he's referring to, that crown that you might win at the Olympics, that is a perishable wreath or a vine or some types of flowers that are put in it, that dries up, it wilts, it's tossed into the trash can. And yet they are so diligent in running after that wreath, aren't they? And how diligent are we as we run for an imperishable crown? Because the chief shepherd is going to appear. And my ministry among you is going to be judged by the chief shepherd. Not by you. Not by anybody else. But by the Lord Jesus Christ. How I stewarded his flock that was entrusted to me. And Peter says, when you're faithful, when you're diligent, you're going to hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. I will give you much. Enter into the joy of your Lord. God is gracious. He provides shepherd for the sheep. Love your elders, beloved. There is the admonition given to us that we are to follow and be obedient and submissive because the elders watch over your souls. It's a noble calling. It's a high calling. It's a difficult calling for men who are flesh and blood, just as you. The blessing is that the shepherd, the chief shepherd, he gives more grace. The Lord has blessed us greatly with elders in the church. Let us be thankful for them. Amen. Shall we pray?